started yesterday, Pasuk Yud Gimel through Pasuk Tesvav. The Shloisha Pishe Amoin. Okay? Page 274. Let's Rav to Radak. So let us review the list. We will review the Pesukim very quickly. Page 274 from Yud Gimel through Tesvav. There are three sins for which I will forgive them, but the sin number four, Leashivenu. For sin number four, I will not withdraw my anger. I will not allow my anger to come back. Number one, what is the fourth sin? I'll become Harois Hagilot. So yesterday we learned the parish of Rashi and the Mitzudos, and he translates this to mean Harois means pregnant women. When we were pregnant, what was the cruelty of Amon? They ripped open their stomach. They cut open their stomach to pull out the fetuses to kill them. Which women? The women who lived in Gilad. Gilad is Eved HaYarden. Eved HaYarden, where Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe were living. Why did they kill the pregnant women? Because they stole their land. And they did not want years later, a generation later, the people, the world, they'll have a world court. There'll be some international court of law. And the people of the Jewish people will come to complain that our land has been stolen. And it's not going to be the people themselves who will complain, because they're no longer alive. They're gone. They died. They'll be their descendants. The descendants will come and take the people of Amon to court, to an international court. So in order to prevent this from happening, the people of Amon, they murdered the descendants. Any fetus, any child that can one day, 100 years later, 50 years later, 70 years later, can come make a claim that the land that the people of Amon are living on is stolen, it's occupied land, they should be eliminated from the very beginning. Okay, the very great, deep act of cruelty. They were wise. People of Ammon, you can't say they weren't wise, but they were evil. They were evil. They used their wisdom for evil to kill the future generation, those people who will come make a claim against Gilad. Leman, so that hirchaves gevulam, they can increase their boundary. Ammon is on the boundary of Gilad, the other side of the Yarden. They can steal the land and keep it for themselves, and no one will contest their illegal acquisition. What is the punishment? Hashem says, "Vitzati Esh Bechemas Rabba." Rabba was the capital of Amon. It was the name of a city. And Hashem says, "I will ignite a fire against the wall of Rabba, the Ochla Armino Yisach, and this fire will consume the palaces." Bisrua b'yoy milchama. We learned yesterday two translations for the word Tirua. Either it means they would blow a trumpet when the signal to begin the war, to march, to attack, was a Tirua, the sound of a trumpet.
No, who's going to attack?
The enemy, who is the enemy, does not say. Probably Sancheirif, I would imagine it's Sancheirif. It doesn't really say. Maybe we'll see the other Mepharshim. I don't remember seeing who it is. The day will come, the day of reckoning will come, where Hashem will send an enemy against the nation of Ammon.
A little too late.
It's, well, okay, it's too little too late, right. But at one point, there's going to be a day of reckoning where a trumpet will be sounded that will serve as a signal for the enemy to attack. Simply, this refers to Sancheirif. Sancheirif conquered the entire world. Besar, and the other translation was the Trua does not mean a trumpet, but it means a rally, a call of rally. Like we said yesterday, Hippipure, or, you know, whatever, they would have different chants, different mantras that they would repeat as they marched. Remember when I was in camp, it was going back before you were born, when I was in camp, there was a guy there who was like he was like in the military. He made believe he was like in the army, and he would always march in camp. I left my wife and 48 kids right in the middle of the kitchen floor. Ever heard that before? I left my wife and 48 kids, and he would sing it. He would march.
99 bottles of beer on the
way. I left my wife and 48 kids right in the middle of the kitchen floor. So that's what they would have to, the army, they actually sing these type of things in order to put the people in a frame of mind as they would march and attack the enemy. That's what it means here, according to one interpretation, the word teruah. Bia mulchama, it's going to be besar. It's going to be like a tornado, a hurricane, a very strong wind. B'yoyim sufa, on the day of a hurricane, a day of a sufa is a storm. And it does, we learned in the Mepharshim, it doesn't mean the storm. Literally, it means there's going to be chaos. There's going to be massive chaos when the enemy will attack Ammon as a punishment for what they have done to us. V'holach malkam begoyla, and their king, the king of Ammon, will go into exile. Hu u'visorav, he the king, visorav, and his officers, yachdav, together, Omar Hashem, so says Hashem. We learned Rashi and the Mitzvah. Now let's go to Radak. Radak is going to translate the word Harim like I translated for you yesterday, originally. It means the mountains. Does not mean they took women and they cut them open, who were pregnant, but it means they stole the territory, the mountains. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Who did
it? Why would the word be in the masculine in the first place?
Why would it be Harois? Horois, I don't know. Let's see what he says. The Radak Koyamar al Bikam, they cut open Bikam Horois Hagilot. So Horois. So here, what does it mean over here? Bnei Ammon hoyu shechenim leeretz Hagilot. Gilot is on the other side of the Yarden. V'hoyu boikim hehorim, not women who are pregnant. It means they would conquer. They would split into pieces. And this is a metaphor to mean that they would conquer the mountains. The mountains. Shahoyu migvul eretz hagilot umarchivim bohem givulon. It's a metaphor. It means they would conquer the mountains, the territory, and expand their own boundaries. Vahoyu masigim givul hagilot hasogas givul. They would extend the boundary that separated Ammon from Gilot, and take part of Gilot for themselves. The hasogas givul hu ovoin gadol. Look at these powerful words of the Radak. This idea of hasogas gvul is a very, very great sin. Shoyhu echad min ha'arudim haksuv b'Torah. It's one of the curses, the 11 curses that are singled out in Har Grizim and Har Evil. Orur masi gvul reyecha. And that's a very powerful limud Muslim, because today, in today's day and age, what?
But that's the end.
So the goyim also, whatever the Torah tells us about the Jews, Avi, you're saying, you're making a very good point, even though it's not one of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach, you're saying very, very good. But the Radak is teaching us over here is that the goyim have what to learn from the mitzvahs, even though it does not apply to them. There are some moral teachings, you're right, you're saying good, which are affect them as well. That's what it says. I mean, it is Gezel. Gezel is one of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach.
And a very strict one.
The chayvim pochus mishove pruta. A goy is chay for gezel even less than a pruta. A Jew is not chay for gezel less than a pruta, only for a pruta. A goy is chay for misa, not just a loisa say. A goy is chay for misa for stealing less than a shove pruta. I am assuming that hasogas gevul is an abizrayu, is an extension of gezel when you steal someone's property. It's one example. There are many different types of theft. One example is Hasogas Gvul. It's an Ovoim Gadol. Shorihu Echad Minacho Arurim Haksuvim Batoira Orur Masil Gvul Reyehu. Why is it such a terrible Avera? You know what the answer is? This is a little bit of drush. It's because Hasogas Gvul, you'll never lose in Bezdin. Today, if you open up a pizza store next door to someone else's pizza store, so what happens? The original guy, he's very upset. He takes you to a Din Toira. And he will always lose, guaranteed.
Yeah, but
because there's enough business for everyone, v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. However,
it's in New York.
In New York, but even out of town, you could almost never win yet. What's from Hull, yeah?
But this is not the case of a pizza store. This is a land grab.
It's a land grab, that is correct. But I want to expand. A land grab is very often, especially in ancient times, you'll win also. Because you can't, how are you going to, they didn't have Google Maps. Okay, they didn't have all these sophisticated techniques of marking exactly where the territory is. It's very hard to go define boundaries. It's almost impossible. Even surveyors, it's extremely difficult. Hasogas gevul, you can always get away with.
Well, according to Chazal, the only time that they were able to settle a border war was during Tzfardei.
Because that's where the frogs, they didn't go further. So, Arbe. So you see, Hasogas gevul, even when it comes to the physical boundaries, it's very, very hard to lose in a Din Torah. Because prove it. prove to me that the boundary ended on this marker. It's very hard. It's not so easy. And certainly, when you're dealing with intellectual hasagas gevul, or like what we're familiar with, when you have two stores, one store opens up a store next to another store, and anywhere, if you tell people in Brooklyn, you go out of town, it's always the same thing. You've ever heard a case where someone lost a din Torah on hasagas gevul? I never heard such a case. You go open up a pizza store, and then the next guy, 5 years later, opens up a pizza store next door, and you take it to a din Torah. How dare you? You take away my parnasa, and then you make an analysis. No, there's enough business for both of you, and competition is good, and you'll always lose the din Torah. However, there's always bad feelings. If one shul opens up next door to another shul, is that not called hasagas gevul? You have a shul, and these are my balabatim, and this is my, sometimes it's my parnasa as well. And even if it's not your parnasa, I spent years working in order to develop a relationship with the balabatim of this community, and now some young guy whose father-in-law is a multimillionaire buys him a shul right next door, builds a beautiful, beautiful shul, and all the balabatim, they go next door. So, you want to go to din Torah? I guarantee you, you will lose the din Torah. There's enough people for everyone, and there's and whoever, it's survival of the fittest. But let me ask you, are there bad feelings? There certainly are bad feelings. Is this the Asisa Hayosha Vehatoiv to open up a shul next door to someone else's shul? To open up a pizza store next door to someone else's pizza store? No way. No way is this called the Asisa Hayosha Vehatoiv. That is why it is singled out. Oror Masigvul Reyecha. Why do we have to have a curse? It's either one of the Tayag mitzvahs, or it's not one of the Tayag mitzvahs. If you look very carefully, all of those that are ruined, those are all things which are part of the Tayag mitzvahs, but they are extremely hard to enforce. Or even if you can, even or technically, it's mutter, but it's not the Asisa Hayashar Vehatoiv. Here, we're coming to demonstrate that Amon, they were very sly. Sly like a fox. They knew how to get away with it. Technically with tzaddikim, hold up your hands. What have we done wrong? Hasagas gevul is an example of violating of doing something where you can get away with it. But we all know deep down inside this is not ethical. It's not moral. It's not v'yasisa hayosha v'hatoiv. Okay, so therefore, this we have over here. Let's go further in the words of the Radak. Okay, v'yeshlosh laharos. Fine. So this is a davar chomer ad me'oid v'haros k'moy harim. The word haros. Rav Michal went and mentioned this k'moy harim. It's a very strange word. Is it feminine? Is it masculine? What's haros is feminine, right? Is that correct? Haros will be feminine. I don't even know. What? Harim with a mem is certainly masculine. Haros. Harim, right, but what is harois? Is harois with a saf? Does that make it feminine? I don't know. I don't think so. Yes. Does it? Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Harois with a saf makes it feminine?
As a plural of harav.
Okay, that's for a woman. Okay, fine. Kemoi harim. Koivetz min yikubat. Har beloshon zucharim harim. There are certain words in the Hebrew language which are both masculine, can be used masculine, feminine, period. V'yesh lefaresh, harois ha'arim ha'bitzuros yichane oisem loshon har, kim v'chein v'horois sehem tibakea, hirni elecha har hamashchis. So he wants to say that mountains doesn't just, the word harois means, does not mean a mountain, it means a fortified city. A third translation, and so far, you have to always keep cheshbon. Translation number one is a pregnant woman, or pregnant women, Peloshen Rabin. Translation number two, mountains. Translation number three, fortified cities. Three translations. V'chein Amar ben Vos Yirmiya, Levnei Amon, Koyama Hashem, Habonim, Ainli. So now he's going back with what Rashi did. Habonim ein li yisrael im yoresh ein loy Madua Yorash Malkam as God, the Amoy and his nation, Ba'arav Yoshav. What are you doing? What are you doing over here? What do you think that you're going to get away with this? The day will, day of reckoning will come when the descendants of the victims will come forward and demand justice. You think you can steal someone's property and get away with this? Do these people, do your victims, do not have descendants? And when all the dust settles later on, they will come forward and make a claim to take back what's rightfully theirs. V'zocha Hashem Eretz God v'hine zocha Eretz Agilah v'akol me'evel hayad v'mizrocha. There, it's Yirmiyahu was referring to the land of God, because we know there were two tribes, Ruvain, God, v'chatzi shevet Menashe. And here it meant Eretz Gilad, and Gilad is also was the portion of God, so it's really the same thing, we're referring to the same different territory. V'akol me'evel hayardin mizrocha, on the east side of the Yarden. Next, v'yesh l'farish gamkin haros Agilah hanoshim haros. Now he's going back to the parish of the Mitzudos and of Rashi. Haros means the pregnant women. V'chein heho roisecha bikea. V'ho roisem tivakea. We have other places in Tanakh where this thing was done, where they would, women were pregnant, were cut open, and their babies were killed. They demoralized. There's no greater demoralization you can do to a woman than to kill her children. K'mosh amar v'ho riyoisav yivukohu. Who is the one who invented this idea? Para, kol habein hayiloid hayoira tash lichu v'chol abdom. Before that, he said to Shifu Pura, "Uriisanet alcho evnoyim imbein hu v'hamitinoisai." That when the women are giving birth on the birth stool, so it's the, I don't know what's exactly cut open their womb, but it's pretty similar. It's pretty close. When the women are giving birth on their birth stool, that's when you kill the babies. You put your hand into the mother's womb. They cut them open, and again, the technique and the details, I do not know. What?
What we have here, is that
is it? Is it really? Maybe it's really the same thing.
And,
I don't know.
And
yeah.
It prevents,
the future.
From having any future children.
Oh, oh, that's another idea. That he's saying another very idea. Did Paro also tell Shif and Pur that when they should do something harmful to the women at the time of birth to prevent them from having the children in the future? Is there such a chazal?
No.
Okay.
That was Miriam's tie to Amram.
No, it was
just... You're worse.
Even under the
well, that was later when they said throw him into the Nile. That was a later thing when it wasn't effective.
Time.
Okay, fine, whatever it is. But over here, the one that really invented this cruelty was Paro. Paro invented this cruelty of to kill the baby at the earliest stage. The lack of compassion, Kemosha Omar, Oilelehem, Yeru Toshu. The babies they would smash. The im ha'olelim hayu hargim v'heharos mevakim. If they would kill the infants and they would cause the women who were pregnant to abort, kol shekein ha'acherim. How much more so do they kill the adults? V'zeu sh'amar l'man harchiv es gvulam shlo yishar sodid b'yisrael. There should be no survivor. No survivor should one day come forward and reveal the truth. Reveal the truth that the land has been stolen. What, you think you're going to get away with this? You think you're going to succeed in killing out all the survivors? There will always be a survivor that will come and testify what really happened. Okay, so now what's the next pasuk? The punishment shall be, I will ignite the city of Rabbah. Mati el Rabas bnei Amon truas milchama besar b'yom sufa him shul chayzik hamilchama vehi lachdam behera luach sara. We're comparing the milchama to a tempest. The soifa who ruach sara v'inyan kavul b'milashenas. We have a poetic repetition. Pasuk tesvav v'holach malcham begaylov v'chinam b'nuvos yirmiya malcham agol yelach v'koina v'saviyachta. They're going to go into exile. Now let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim back starting with pasuk Yud Gimel. Al shloisha pisha yishol b'nei al shloisha pisha b'nei amayin avoy d'zara gil yirai shvichas tam k'nizkol el v'yarba. What was the fourth sin? Al bikam harois hagilad perosh marenu harav Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel me'inyan har, a mountain Shalafi Shahayu bin Amon Smuchim Le Eretz Hagilot, Hayubaikim Heharim Hasmuchim, they would conquer, good morning, they would conquer the mountains, the neighboring mountains, Laman Hirchaves Gvulam, period. Verashi, Zal, Perash, Harois, Kipshutai, Noshim, women who are pregnant. Hanoshim, Heharois, Kide, Lahachris, Es Yisrael Misham, in order to cut off the future. Ulishneha Perushim, Yuvan Masha Amar Yirmia al bin Amon, we had this read twice. Habonim ain't Lisholim Yorishain Loi. Madua Yorash Malcolm as God via Mobiar of Yoshev. What do you think? You're going to get away with it. Madua Yorash Roimez al Hachrosas, Hachrosas, Hayelodim Hayorshim. You're trying to cut off the descendants. The Amoy Beor of Yoshev, Ramaz al Mash Amar Lamanhichav as Gvulam. You're trying to cut off their descendants and you're trying to steal their territory and make sure no one will come and reveal the truth. Pasik to Yedalid. V'yitzati, I will torch the city of Rabbah. Yatzis bam esh milchama v'yatzve ha'at sasa hi hat hat hav era. Hanaseis b'pam echot saviv saviv. It's a fire, a destruction which comes in one shot. Yo esh ha'aspashet b'chol b'nei amoin. A fire spread amongst the entire nation. V'cheinam ayimyo uvinoysecha b'esh titzasna. Its palaces, its buildings will be kindled, will be ignited in fire.
Today we use the term firestorm.
A firestorm, okay. Zeya b'shua b'yamuchamav v'chein loshen kol avodas malkom hoya ba'avodas. Since the avodas malkom hoya avodas ho'esh ha'omar sho'esh lo yiyye mi malkom. Now what does that mean? The service of their king was to fire. I don't know what that means. Does that mean avodah zarah? Does that mean moilech? Moilech was the idol where they would give over their children to the Avodah Zarah called Moilech by burning their children in fire.
It didn't have to be. There are other forms of Avodah Zarah.
Right. So, but here he's saying, why were they punished in this form? Well, here the Malam is coming to address why was the punishment, what's the Midah Kineged Midah? So he writes here, B'nei Sha'avodas Malkam, the service of their king, Hoya avodas ha'esh. What does that mean exactly? I do not know. I'm guessing it means that the king, his choice idol was, I'm assuming avodas here means avodah zarah, and his choice form of worship was fire. They would offer their children in fire to the gods, and therefore midah keneged midah, when Hashem will now punish them for their sins, He will punish them with fire. Amar sho'esh lo ye mi malkom ki malkom yelech bagoylo. Their king will go into exile. V'chol b'malkom avodas ha'moylech. I see, he says beferish. The moylech. The moylech is the moylech. Gam ha'melech kipshutai. What?
Malcolm.
Is there a king? Oh, his name? Malcolm Homo. Yeah, name. Okay. But he's saying over here the word means their king, but also he says alludes to moylech. Moylech. He writes, V'kol b'malkom avodas ha'moylech. Ha'moylech means the avodah zarah of burning children in honor of the idol called moylech. And it also means their king literally, gam ha'melech kipshuta v'yalzomar hu v'sarav. So he's teaching us here that when it says here, v'holach malkom b'goyle, it means their idol. Amoin's primary idol was moylech. And the word malkom means their king, their leader, but it also means their idol. Their idol will be destroyed. It will be destroyed, and that's why we mentioned that their punishment will come through fire, being that Moilech, the form of worship of Moilech, was through kindling fires and burning children in the fire. Therefore, it's going to be here, Midah kineged midah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish them for the sins, they of course Klal Yisrael, he's going to punish them also retroactively for the sin of Avodah Zarah. Okay, that pretty much concludes the sugya of Ammon. That was the fifth nation, right? Was that the fifth nation? We had already five nations. Amos has given over a prophecy. If we want to review what were the five nations, we started with the first nation was Aram, Damnesek. The second nation was Aza. Okay, so you started with Damnesek, which was on the east. Then we went down to the south, Aza. Then we went to the north of Tsar. Then we went to Edom. Edom is no longer on the boundary. Edom is number four. That's going to be the southeast. And now we've gone to Ammon, which is also on the east side, past Gilad, further away. Also, that's already five nations. Five nations we are focused on. And now we come to nation number six. Who's nation number six? Moav. Next sugya.
Pasuk.
The Christians have been the ones who have. So you want to, what's the Musa Haskell? So I'll cut it, let's first read the sugya. Don't forget.
Ammon and Moav
So you're saying something very good. So obviously there's something very deep over here. Moav, you have to realize, is Melech HaMashiach. Right? Moav is Mashiach. The Christians, I'm just guessing right off the bat. The Christians, anything that has to do with Mashiach drives them mad.
They use it for their own.
Right. There, no, it's not only there. It's always a rejection and distortion. So right off the bat, I'm suspicious that since now we're coming now to Moav, and Moav for us is Melech HaMashiach, David. And the Christians, they don't want to believe in that. They believe in Yoshka as the Melech, is the Mashiach. So as soon as they see Moav, it drives them mad, and they begin to manipulate.
That's a little more sophisticated than I would give them credit for.
Why? They're very sophisticated people. I
studied with a woman who was very involved. She's Jewish. She's luckily 100% Jewish. Actually, there's a certain rub that she is distantly related to. Wherever it says father and son, they go crazy. It doesn't matter who's head or what. It's always, you know, that they're constantly looking for Yoshka in anything that you learn, in any way, in any form, or makes sense, doesn't make sense, doesn't matter. It means Yoshka.
So this is, Rachel, you're saying very good. If the fact is a Perek Beis over here, I'm very suspicious. It has to do with Mashiach. Like you just said, that's all about, everything is about Yoshka by them, everything. And we know that Moav is Melech HaMashiach. Oh, Melech HaMashiach. They can't deal with this.
I understand that.
Let's see what it says. Nation number six. All of the nations, we have the same form. We have the three plus then the four. Love V'alarbo lo yashivenu. Al sarfay atzmois melech edoim lasina. There are a lot of Mamori Chazal on this. That what was the fourth sin? The fourth sin was they burned the bones of the king of Edom lasid. They burnt it into lime. Let's go further. Now, in other words, the sin so far here has nothing to do, according to the simple interpretation, with Klal Yisrael. The sin of Moav was a sin against Edom. It was humanity. It was a cruelty of humanity. Like we learned in the beginning of the sugya, the beginning of the Sefer, the Radak said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something very controversial, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not get involved in world affairs amongst the Goyim, only two exceptions. Number one, if they harm or give benefit to Klal Yisrael. Number two, if they do amongst themselves something outrageous. If they just do Averos, Hashem does not get involved. Something outrageous, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes. So here it seems to say, at least according to this simple translation, which you have to see in the Farshim, it's not so simple, nothing is simple. They burned the bones of the king of Edom, Lasid. This is referring to a very specific event. Let's go further. What's going to be the punishment? The punishment is, V'shilachti esh b'moyav, I will send forth a fire in Moyav, V'ochla armenois hakiriyois, it will burn, it will consume the palaces of the cities. Notice it does not say the word hitzitz. When it came to Ammon, it said v'hitzati esh b'choy masraba. There was an additional expression being used. Here with Mekatzer, does not say there's going to be a kindling, does not say the word hitzati, just said I will send forth a fire in Moav, and it will consume yochlo armenos hakiriyos, the palaces of the cities, umeis b'sho'oin Moav, and it will die. Sho'oin is a hard word to define. It means in the confusion. In the confusion, Rashi says, and the Mitzvah says, be'inyin Hemya means commotion. And during this commotion of all of the chaos that ensues in the aftermath of the fire, then Moav will die. Moav, who's going to die? It doesn't say who's dying. Umes, someone will die. The nation will die. Is that what it means? Maybe. Or it means someone very important will die. Bisrua, bekol shofar, in the shout, and the kol shofar. Notice, in Amoin, the word shofar was not used. We used the word terua, but we did not use this expression kol shofar. Pasuk Gimel, v'chrati shofet mikirba, I will cut off a leader from within. V'chol sorecha eharoig imoy, and all of its leaders I will kill with him. Omar Hashem, so says Hashem. Now, let's take a look at these three psukim. These three psukim together, starting with the mitzvot of Pasek Karek Beis, Pasek Aleph. In Mitzudos, David, back on page 270, it's the next page already, I'm sorry. 276, al-sarfai. Huma shenemar. The Mitzudos is drawing our attention to Sefer Melachim. Vayikach es b'noi ha-bechor asher yimloch tachto vayaleu oyla ala choyma. What was the story? The king of Moav took his son and he offered his son as a human sacrifice. Like what Avram was told.
No, the king of Moav took the son of the king of Edom.
I'm sorry. The king of Moav took the son of Edom. Vayikach as a b'nai ha-bechor. Asher yimloch tachto. He took the king of Moav. There was a war between Moav and Edom. And he took the son of the king of Edom. And he brought him as a carbon oil, alachoima, vayi ketzef gadol al Yisrael. Why was there an anger? So he explains. Uperusha, Shemelch Moyav lokach ben melech Edom, haroi limloch, usrafai kolil koila, the os kotsaf melech Edom al Yisrael. Who got angry? So the Mitzudos, this is not so similar. Many perushim to exactly what was going on over there, but the Mitzudos learns that the king of Edom was angry al Yisrael. Why? Al ki ba'avuram bolo harahahi. He blamed the Jews. Okay, this is the classic, anti-Semitism in this world. Any what? Exactly. So this is all rooted. This is classic. It's all rooted in the story that he suffered a terrible tragedy, the loss of his son. The one, his Kaddishol, right? The Kaddishol. The one that's going to say Kaddish for him. The one that's going to be the Mali Mekoimai of the king of Edom. And who does he blame? Blame the Jews. The Jews, they're the ones. Why? What do we have to do with this? Well, somehow you're in your corrupt mind, you're going to legitimize that the only reason why we suffer is because of the Jews. The Jews poisoned the wells. The Jews destroyed the economy. The Jews did 9/11, the Jews did this, the Jews did that. It's always mice and the chol yoyim, nothing ever changes. Whenever a guy feels has a tzara, he blames the Jews, like we learned yesterday. Halacha biyadua she'esav soinei Yaakov. V'loi rola hatziloi, the Jews did not see, they did not use their influence, their ability to save my son. Im kein alidei melech moyav nis'oyer. Because of the king of Moab, it was aroused, the Ketzef al Yisrael, l'chein, therefore, Yekabel Moab Gemul, and that's why Moab now will suffer. So we're going back over here to the story. There are obviously more details, which will come across, maybe just a few of them in the other Mepharshim, and that is, there was a tzara to Moab, and because of that, he let out his anger, vented his anger on Klal Yisrael, and that was completely wrong. Klal Yisrael had nothing to do with this. It was nonsense to blame the Jews. So now it's payday. Now Hashem is coming to pay off Moav. Because Moav was the cause of all of this, obviously, according to the way we're learning Shan the Pasuk, the king of Moab knew that by killing the Bechor of Edom, the consequence would be the Jews would suffer. He knew this, obviously. He knew that it was by design. I will kill the king of Moab's son, and it will be traced, it will arouse their anger, and that way the king of Edom will wage war against Klal Yisrael. Therefore, now is payday. Hashem is going to destroy Moab for his cruel plan and technique, and how he indirectly brought a korban to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, Alachain Yikabel Moav Gemul. Now he explains in more detail. Lasid, what did he do? Ritzon Eloimar Ad Shenasu Dak V'Lovon Kasid. Not only did he kill, did he assassinate the son of Edom, the heir apparent of Edom. He took his body and he burnt it until it was white, until it was burnt like dark, v'lovan, like lime. K'derecho etzem achar hasreifa. After bone, human bone is burnt, it's white. What?
Like cremation.
Umeis b'sh'oin moyav. Moyav yomus b'sh'oin ha'mulchama b'es yariya ha'oyev. Moyav will die in confusion at the during the tumult of the war. The ace Yeriah Oyev, when the enemy he sounds Bekol Shofar, who will die with him? He will die with him. Ima Shofar Ahu. And there's a lot more going on over here, which we'll come across in a few moments. Let's take a look now. A few more pieces of this puzzle. Let's pasuk Aleph in the Rashi. Rashi Al Sarfay Atzmois Pam Achas Nafal Melech Edom Biyad Melech Moav. It happened once. The king of Edom fell in the hands of Moav. V'sarfu Atzmoisav. And he killed his. Now it says over here the king. Rashi has a different version. Rashi over here says that it was not actually this child. It was the son. The Metzudah says it was the son. Rashi says it was the Melech Mamish, the king of himself. Hamachas Nafal Melech Moav Biad Melech Biad Melech Moav V'sarfu Atzmoisav V'tochum, and he grinded it. Bekira Sabayis. And he grinded. Vitochum means he inserted it. He took the ashes, and tochum he hid it or he put it away. Bekiroi sabayis v'tova hakadosh baruch hu oinoas hamelech shenogu bo bizoyin. Hakadosh baruch hu now is coming to take vengeance for the bizoyinos that the king of Moav has done to Edom. So it seems from Rashi that it's a different story. It's an entirely different korban. According to the Mitzudais, this korban that will come to Moav is directly related to Klal Yisrael. It was a story in Melachim where the king of Moav, there was a war between Edom and Moav, and the king of Moav.
No, actually, it says that it was Melach Yisrael and Melach Yehuda joined.
An alliance.
Yeah.
There was an alliance together with Moav. And Moav went, and he succeeded in conquering the in Edom. And in the process, he went and he killed the son, the heir apparent. Being that Klal Yisrael were in alliance with Moav, it was viewed that Klal Yisrael agreed to this behavior, that it was fitting that the child of the king of Edom should be killed in this brutal way.
One of the other versions says that Melech Yehuda and Melech Yisrael had an alliance to go against Moav. And since Edom at that time was an ally of Yisrael, but Edom had also made an agreement with Moav that he wouldn't go to war with them. And he had given his son as a hostage for that.
Ashka.
When Klal Yisrael went, and because of that, Edom had to join them. The Melech Moav took his hostage and burnt him.
It was betrayal.
Yeah.
It was a guarantee, a mashkan. They took one. That was very common in those days. Is that they would take the children. Is that when one nation, we had this a couple of times before, when one nation would conquer another nation, they would take the child or family member of the nation that has been conquered. And they would take it back with them to their home country. And they said, listen, behave yourself. Don't rebel against us. And pay the taxes. Because if you rebel against us, I'll send you back your son in pieces. I'll send them you back, his head and his feet. It was basically blackmail. It was a tactic of a terrorism. We're going to capture, we're going to hold hostage your child, your family member, and if you do not behave yourself, we're going to punish you. And it works, because people will do anything for their family, anything for their wife, for their children, for their parents. And that was the ultimate, that was the ultimate blackmail. The ultimate blackmail is to hold hostage a person's family member. Okay, so this is what was done in ancient times. That's exactly what happened over there. They had hostage the king of Moab held hostage the child of Edom. And then when the war was waged, when Klal Yisrael went to war against Edom,
against
Moab, and there was an alliance between Klal Yisrael and Edom that they would not go to war against Moab, so therefore it was viewed as betrayal. They were on a team. Klal Yisrael and Edom were on the same team. And when Klal Yisrael violated its part of the deal, so then the child of Edom, who was a hostage, was killed. And now that awakened the wrath of Edom, and Edom attacked Klal Yisrael. So therefore, who was the one that was guilty of causing, of instigating this entire thing? It was Moav. Moav went, and they took the child of Edom, and he's the one who started this whole, he's the one who basically, they're the ones who started this whole sequence of events, and that's why they're going to be punished. But the main point, we'll go into details in a few moments, we'll see in the parashah again, the old details, but the main point over here is, according to the parashah of the Mitzudais, the reason why they're going to be punished now at this moment in time is punishment for their role in causing harm to Klal Yisrael. According to Rashi, it's not the case. Rashi seems to indicate that this event is not the same event as what the Mitzudah suggests. It was a different story. It was just Stam. There was a war against Moav and Edom, and Moav acted in a brutal way, and it has nothing to do with Klal Yisrael. It was a crime against humanity. And for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I cannot allow such a thing to exist in my world. I will intervene and destroy Moav. Has nothing to do with Klal Yisrael, at least according to Rashi's simple translation. One more time, those words of the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Pamachas." It happened once. Nafal Melech Edom biyad Melech Moav, v'sarfu atzmoisav, and the king of Moav burnt his bones, v'tochum, and inserted them b'kiros habayis, in the walls of the bayis. V'tova, that was a very disgusting thing to do, to treat with such disgrace a king. Vitova is a code of conduct, how officers are treated in war. There's a code of conduct, and this was a violation. And therefore, Vitova HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oinohas HaMelech. Oinohas means the harm, the pain, the wrongdoing of the king. Shenohagu bo bizayoin. So what was the punishment? The punishment was Hashem is going to send a fire in Moab. It's going to eat the palaces of Hakirios. Now, I translate the word Hakirios to mean, I said the cities. Okay? And that's what the Mitzudos David says. He says, I mean, Shem Mochois, the name of a region. Maybe I didn't translate correctly. And we hear the Rashi also says, Shem Mochoim, Kamodat Omar al Kirios vi al Botra. It's the name of a place. Mitzudos says the name of a region. Next words of Rashi, and who will die? Umes b'sha'oin Moav b'shuas b'kol shayfar b'sha'oin kol hamoin mulchama. Someone will die. Who will die? Doesn't say exactly who will die, but someone important will die. Maybe the nation will die. Maybe the king will die. In the sound of the commotion is when the fallout will occur. Okay, that concludes Rashi. Now let's see the Radak. Radak pasuk Aleph Beis and Gimel. Radak is following the shita of the Mitzudos. What does this mean? The anger was not from Hashem. The anger was from the king of Edom. When Edom, the king of Edom, saw that his child, his heir apparent was murdered brutally by the king of Moab, Edom attacked Klal Yisrael. Al Yisrael, Nechayoyim Ahu V'Hola, Mibnei Sha'a Melech Moab, the king of Moab, Saraf, as Ben Melech Edom Ba'Mulchama, Shuhu Hoyosham Imohem. He, the child, was a hostage. K'moy Shepirash Nusham, Lefichach, therefore, Henisha Yokel Yisrael Chalzeh, that is why the king of Moab is going to be punished, because he should have realized, he did realize, that by him killing the child of Edom, Edom will attack the neighbors or the affiliates of Moab, namely Klal Yisrael. Right today in the Middle East, the Arabs view an attack on Israel to be an attack on the United States. Since the United States and Israel are in an alliance, so when the Arabs or when the Palestinians or when our enemies, when they want to send a message to the United States or they want to cause harm to the United States, so the United States is not available. Okay, the United States, the closest embassy is locked down. They can't do anything to the United States. They can't go out to the ships into the Mediterranean or can't go into the Black Sea, wherever, the Persian Gulf, and attack the ships. So what do? They attack Israel. By attacking Israel, you're attacking the interests of the United States in the Middle East. It's a view on attack. Exactly the same thing over here. Here, the king of Edom was enraged. He's enraged against Moab. Edom was not able to attack Moab for whatever reason. So what do they do instead? We'll attack your partners, your friends. We're going to attack the people, your interests in the region. And who are your interests? Klal Yisrael. And that's why Moab, by what they did, instigated hatred against Klal Yisrael. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says now there's going to be payback for what you have done. You have done this knowingly, you knew what was going to happen.
Was it wrong for Klal Yisrael to unite with them?
I don't know the answer. I don't know the story. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. But in any event, it was clear. It's clear that they knew what he was doing. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coming to punish Moab. It's clear as day that Moab knew good and well that by killing the child of Edom, it's going to have the ramifications. The collateral damage will be Klal Yisrael. And it appears that they did this b'kavana. Adarabba, they wanted Klal Yisrael to suffer. It was by design. Hashem says, I know what you're thinking, I know what you're doing, and the day of reckoning will come for you. Yeah. It was later on. I don't know. They were kings. There's no question they were kings. The terminology, I don't know the answer. Let's go further. La Sid. What is Sid? Sid is Sreifa Gemura Achahayu Afilu Hatsamas Efer Kemoha Sid. That even the bones turned into dust. V'chein v'hoyu amim misrefai sid, nations will be burnt into sid. V'yonasam tekim al de'oikeid garmei malka, he burned the bones of the king Dedaim, v'sodinun begira b'veisei, and they put them, deposited the ash in the wall of the bayis. Exactly what Rashi said, perish, shesod b'soi b'ois eifer. They used the dust, the lime, the dust, the ash, of the bones of the king as plaster. Plaster of Paris. They sold it in the store as plaster for walls. Derech nekama uvi zoyon. Look at the Holocaust, what the Nazis did to the Jews. They made soap. They made soap out of the fats, the skins. They used the skins of Jews for leather. Bizoy, they used. So over here, this was done by the king of Moab. This is something similar. He took his bones. They used it as plaster for walls. And that was considered to be a very great disgrace. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes, I will not tolerate such a thing in my world. Even though according to the Targum, according to Rashi, it does not appear that this has anything to do with Klal Yisrael. This is just general cruelty which has they have to be destroyed. V'shilachti hakiroish shem ir mer amoros dem v'city v'irakt v'chrati mikirba mikerev hakiroish ki hi hoisa ir hamalucha shaloi imo rots lomar im melech manav. Okay, let's now go to the Malbim, starting with Pasig Beis. V'shilachti v'yachla armos hakiroish arim habitzur arim hamivtzarim shebemoyav u'meis b'sha'oin. Wait, did we skip Aleph? I'm sorry. You have to go back. Pasuk Aleph. I'm sorry. You have to go back. Pasuk Aleph. Back on page 275. Okay, back to 275. Al Shloisha Pishay Moyov. Perish Marino Rav Yitzchak Barinel. Shehitzchel Nevuasai Al Bamesek. Vishnulchamu Begilad. Beachzorius Chema. We start off from the first of the six nations upon whom Amos gave over a message in Hashem's name. The first was Aram. Aram, and the capital of Aram is Damesek. What was their Avera? Cruelty. Number two was Aza. Number three was Tsar. She'ozhul Edom, assisted Edom. The Achach be Edom, Atzmai Sheherir li Yisrael. The Achach Nibe. Then we went to Nibe. We go now to the next page. The next page, 277. Sheyanish es huumois shahayu sibo lechol zois shebnei Amon hayu hasibo lera. Amon was the cause of Shaasu Damesek. What was that? What do we mean over here? Shabnei Amon hayu asibul rosh shasu damesek ki heim hischilu lilchay magilad. They are the ones who began to fight against Gilad v'lo kachas es gevula v'al yidei kach orav lev damesek lovoy acharehem, and that's what caused damesek to come after them lahashmidu lahacharim v'asibul loras bnei Edom, and the cause of Edom's anger shenigruru acharehem. Pleshes v'tzar, hoya ma'ash esarfu atzmas melech Edom lasid. Now here, let's read this part, and we'll go backwards and explain the first part. So he's coming over here to give us a very sequence. The Malbim winding down now. This is the last of the six nations. After this, we're going to focus on Klal Yisrael, on Mechiras Yosef. But before we come to the Nevuah of Klal Yisrael, we're giving over six Nevuahs for six nations. Now, until now, we have never focused on the order. What is the significance of the Seder of the six nations? So the Malbim is doing that. But let's first go to the second part of the Malbim, then we'll come back and begin the first part of the Malbim. Now, there's a relation to all of these nations. And here he gives us the story in a little more detail. What's the detail? Ma'ash esarfu atzmas melech Edom lasid. Ki Edom hoya bevris im Yisrael. Here we go through the details and go through in much more detail. Here we go. Edom had a covenant with Klal Yisrael. They would not fight. Not only did they not fight amongst each other in the days of Yehoshaphat and Yehoram, there was an alliance where they went to go to war against Moab. Klal Yisrael was aligned with Edom, and they went to war against Moab. V'os, and at some point in time in this period of time, the king of Moab captured the child, the heir apparent of Edom. V'os tofas melech Moab es bein habuchar shel melech Edom, asher yimloch tachtof. And that's why he's called l'chin karpo hamelech Edom. V'yalehu oila al hachoyma v'yisrefer lasid. What happened? When they went to war against when Edom and Klal Yisrael went to war against Moav, Moav was angry, so Moav took revenge by killing the heir apparent of Edom. V'sham kisiv, and there it's written, v'yihi ketzef gadol al Yisrael, sheperushoi, she'os kotzaf Edom al Yisrael. Then Edom was fuming mad that his child was killed because of the war, because of what happened. And whose fault is it? It is Klal Yisrael's fault. Al Shaloi Hitziluhu Miyad Melech Moab, because they felt that Klal Yisrael had the ability to save his son from the clutches of the king of Moab. Umeos Hischil Edom Lilchaim Im Yisrael. The alliance was broken, and now Klal Yisrael was now fighting against two nations, against Moab and against Edom. That is when Edom broke away from Yehuda because of what happened. And they had enmity forever. What was the cause of Edom hating Klal Yisrael? It was Moav, because it was Moav who killed the child of Edom, and Edom felt that Klal Yisrael had the ability to save their child, his child, from this happening, and they didn't. And therefore, that's why it says Ben Pelos Moav Vishpati LeMoav Num Hashem Male Bama Umakter LeLokav. They bring up as a pasuk later on, Shezem Mida Keneged Mida. I will destroy for Moav anyone that brings up a sacrifice, umakter leloikov. Why? Because midah keneged midah is exactly what they did to the child of Edom. When they killed the child of Edom, how did they kill him? They offered him as a sacrifice. The nation of Moab took the child of Edom and brought up this child on a bama, on an altar, as a sacrifice to a god. And therefore, and that caused Edom to be instigated against Klal Yisrael. Therefore, Midah Keneged Midah, when the day of reckoning will come from Moav, for what they've done to cause Edom to hate us, the expression the Pasuk uses to describe their destruction is that there will no longer be a human being that will offer sacrifices. Why is it necessary for the Pasuk to say that it will be cut off from the nation of Moab anyone who offers a sacrifice upon an altar? The answer is, because that's why they're being destroyed. Because they built an altar and they offered a sacrifice upon it, namely, the child of the king of Edom. That's how they caused harm to Klal Yisrael, by building an altar, offering a human sacrifice, which resulted in the kingdom of Edom being furious at Klal Yisrael and guarding enmity within them forever to destroy us. So now, when they will be punished for what they have brought about, what they have set into motion, the same terminology will be used to indicate it's Midah Keneged Midah. It'll be cut off from the nation of Edom, any human being that will have the ability to offer a sacrifice upon an altar. That's what the Malam is explaining, the Midah Keneged Midah. Now that we know this, now let's just go back and read the first part of the Malam again. Okay, winding down it here, just to explain the sequence of events. We go back and read the beginning of the Malam, back to 275, Al Shleisha Pishei Moav. Let's now learn the entire sequence. Perish, Mareinu, Harav, Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yitzchak Barbanel, Sheishchol, Nuvosal, Damesek. The first of the six nations of this section was Aram. Why? Shenilchamu ba'gilad bi'achzorio ischema. They waged war against Gilad. Gilad is Aver Hayardin. Gilad is the territory of Shevet God. This nation of Aram, whose capital was Damesek, which we call today Syria and its capital Damascus, they waged a very cruel war against the Shevet of God. And for this cruelty, they will be destroyed. Afterwards, the Achakach, the second nations, are Aza, okay, in the Pelishtim in the south, and Sar in the north. What are they guilty of? Their cruelty is She'ozru le'edom. They were the nations that assisted Edom. What was their primary crime? Their primary crime is that when Edom would one day wage war against Klal Yisrael, and we know at the end why they waged war against Klal Yisrael, when Edom will one day wage war and the Jewish people will seek refuge in the north and the south, and these two nations, Tsar in the north and Aza in the south, will not grant the Jewish people refuge, and in fact they will hand over all of the refugees into the hand of the Edom, they are next on the line, slated for destruction. The Achar Kach, and now we discuss Edom himself. Edom, they were even worse, because Edom was the one who actually did wage war. Edom Yatzmah, Sheherel Yisrael. What comes after Edom? The Achar Zeh, Nibe, Sheyanish, Esu Umois. Now we go, the last nations are the nations which were the Siba, the cause of why Edom hated us. Who caused Edom to hate us? Shoyasibo l'chozos, which are who? Two nations, Amon and Moav. Shebnei Amon hayu asibo l'ra. And what's the hope? What's the pshat? Now here's a detail that has not been explained really at all. The Moav we just go into in detail, but here is a very important detail. She Amon hayu hasibo l'ra sheosu damesek. The only reason why Ammon, why Aram, the first one on the list, was so cruel and attacked Gilad was only through the encouragement of Ammon. What do we mean? Kihem hischilu lilchon beGilad v'lokachas es gevula. They were the ones who started. Now, Ammon, what Ammon did was not nearly as bad as what Aram did. Aram, whose capital was Damascus, was outright cruel. But Aram and Damascus would never have entertained the idea to wage a cruel war against Klal Yisrael if not observing the example of Ammon. And Ammon wasn't so bad. Ammon just stole our territory. They didn't act cruelly with us to the degree of what Damascus did. But once the nation of Damascus and Aram saw that you can get away with it, that Ammon can go and do something harmful and get away with it, what?
What?
Stalin. Once Hitler saw what Stalin can do, he was inspired. Oh, I can also get away with it. That's so. They were the cause. They were the cause. So this is the cause. Kim heimis hilulchon bagilod v'lokachas es gevula. The ali dekach orav lev damesek. They were observers. Wow, look at this. You can actually crime pays. You can commit a crime and you get away with it. So you know what? Let's perfect it. Let's perfect the crime. We have better technology, bigger bombs, more ideas. We will perfect it. And then we go to Moav. Moav was the cause of Edom, as we will marach very much, the alliance between Klal Yisrael and Edom. They went to war against Moav. Moav captured the child of Edom, and Moav killed the child of Edom, and Edom believed that Klal Yisrael in this war had the ability to save his child, and they chose not to do so. So now Edom broke away from Klal Yisrael and nurtured an eternal hatred to take revenge for not saving his child. That's the conclusion. So the bottom line, to summarize outside in words, we have now the Malbim, in his brilliant way, has explained that we've finished this very important section, because now we're going to go on tomorrow into Klal Yisrael. Six nations, a prophecy for six nations. And the Malam has given us a sequence to explain the order of. We start with the biggest Rasha of them all. And who is the biggest Rasha, the most evil, the most cruel of them all? Aram. Syria was the worst, according to the Malam. The worst. A cruelty beyond words. Who comes next? Next, we focus on Edom. But before we pinpoint Edom, we focus on those who joined, the partners. Who are the partners? In the north and in the south. The south was Aza and Tsar in the north, who were the partners with Edom. So it's really, the next are really three, it's a team of three. The Chut HaMeshulash. It was Edom, and it was, who were the partners of Edom in closing the borders, the borders, and not letting the refugees in? Aza and Tsar. These are two sets. Again, Damesek, they were the worst. Next, Edom. But with Edom is Aza and Tsar. Next, we now finish with our enemies. Now we're going to focus on the causes. Who was the one that opened up the path for these two sets of enemies to cause us harm? Well, with regard to Damesek, it was Ammon. And with regard to Edom, it was Moav. Okay, so that is the sequence. Sequence is, we have really primarily, it comes out, two major enemies. The two major enemies are Aram and Edom. Aram, separate. Edom is Edom. He had partners, though. The partners were Tsar and Aza. Now, who was the inspiration? Who was the inspiration for Damesek? Ammon. Who was the inspiration for Edom? Moav. That is the sequence of the six nations that Amos is addressing and telling them, your day will come. There is no free lunch in this world. That's beautiful. If not for the Sma album, we would have no clue to understand. It puts everything in a whole new perspective. Who is who in the world stage? Who are our enemies? Who are the support of our enemies? And who are the inspiration of our enemies? You got to know the players. You got to know your cast of characters if you want to deal with them. Everyone has something which makes them tick. You know, to you push the right buttons, you'll get the right results. And when you have to deal with them, where they stand in this whole political stage, then everything fits into place. All the dots connect. And when you study Tanakh, then you have a whole new perspective. He's not the enemy. He was the inspiration for the enemy. He's just not the enemy. He's just a support for the enemy. This one is the enemy. This one is not just the enemy. It's the enemy on steroids. Aram was saying over here, they get the cake. They get the birthday cake. Because they're the ones who we're calling the most wicked of them all. Not even Edom. Very, very fascinating. Very clear approach to what's going on over here. And the last, let's finish off for today. They're going to die from anxiety. How do you like that? Anxiety. In fact, you know, that's the real killer today. All the doctors say, what kills people today? They say this whole system today, the health system today, people, they go into the hospital, once you get in their clutches, is the stress. Test, come back in 6 months, in a year, it drives people mad. Mamish, the anxiety of going to the doctor is worse than going to the doctor. It's true, it's a fact. This is a documented fact 100 times over, and it says it's exactly they're going to die. They're not going to die from the bombs. They're going to die from anxiety. Rak b'shamay kol ha-sha'oin v'atiruo yomus miva pachat. Here, the shofar, there's a war, we're under attack. That's enough to cause them to collapse. And before we conclude, we want to welcome back Baruch Roifei Cholim. Our mayor, Appeldorf, is back, better than ever.
Thanks, everyone.
Better than ever. Baruch Hashem, Chag Hashem, Kilo Samu.